count it a privilege to be here with you in this way this morning. I was very blessed by the leading of the Spirit in the service thus far. The songs we sang were a very good introduction to what we already heard, and I believe what we're about to hear as well. God Himself is present. Does that make a difference in your life to think about the fact that God is present? It makes all the difference. It makes all the difference. And that's why we can give the testimony that we sang in the next song. Lift your glad voices. Sing. Praise God. Be happy. And then the final song we sang, Come Thou Fount of Every Blessing. Just an invitation to God to be with me. Recognition that the blessings that we have come from God. And then I was blessed in the devotional meditation. That thought-provoking question, what do I really want from my life? And if I say that I want to serve God, what does that really mean for me? This morning, my message title is On the Mountaintop or at the Bottom. Sometimes in life we feel the blessing and power of God. Sometimes we actually hit the dumps and feel like God is working against us. And the burden of the message is to draw us to the reality that God is working in both of these situations. That God is still there. You know, men in the Bible face both. It should be no surprise to us that we face both as well. Turn with me to 1 Kings chapter 18. Very familiar story. I'm going to start reading at verse 17 and read on into chapter 19, verse 14. First Kings 18, verse 17. And it came to pass when Ahab saw Elijah that Ahab said unto him, Art thou he that troubleth Israel? Israel had just gone through 3 years of very serious famine. And Elijah goes on to explain why. And Elijah answered, I have not troubled Israel, but thou and thy father's house, in that ye have forsaken the commandments of the Lord, and thou hast followed Balaam. So Elijah's telling Ahab that the reason for the famine is because, as a royal family, they're not serving God, and they're leading Israel away from God. Now therefore send and gather to me all Israel unto Mount Carmel, and the prophets of Baal 450, and the prophets of the groves 400, which eat at Jezebel's table. So Ahab sent unto all the children of Israel, and gathered the prophets together unto Mount Carmel. And Elijah came unto all the people and said, How long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him. But if Baal, then follow him. And the people answered him not a word. Then said Elijah unto the people, I only remain a prophet of the Lord, but Baal's prophets are 450 men. Let them therefore give us two bullocks, and let them choose one bullock for themselves, and cut it in pieces, and lay it on wood, and put no fire under. And I will dress the other bullock, and lay it on wood, and put no fire under. And call ye on the name of your gods, and I will call on the name of the Lord. And the God that answereth by fire, let him be God. And all the people answered and said, It is well spoken. And Elijah said unto the prophets of Baal, Choose you one bullock for yourselves, and dress it first, for ye are many, and call on the name of your gods, but put no fire under. And they took the bullock which was given them, and they dressed it, and called on the name of Baal, from morning even until noon, saying, O Baal, hear us! But there was no voice, nor any that answered. And they leaped upon the altar which was made. And it came to pass at noon that Elijah mocked them and said, Cry aloud, for he is a god. Either he is talking, or he is pursuing, or he is in a journey, or peradventure he sleepeth and must be awaked. And they cried aloud and cut themselves after their manner with knives and lances, till the blood gushed out upon them. And it came to pass when midday was past, and they prophesied until the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice, that there was neither voice, nor any to answer, nor any that regarded. And Elijah said unto all the people, Come near unto me. And all the people came near unto him. And he repaired the altar of the Lord that was broken down. And Elijah took 12 stones, according to the number of the tribes of the sons of Jacob, unto whom the word of the Lord came, saying, Israel shall be thy name. And with the stones he built an altar in the name of the Lord. And he made a trench about the altar, as great as would contain 2 measures of seed. And he put the wood in order, and cut the bullock in pieces, and laid him on the wood, and said, Fill 4 barrels with water, and pour it on the burnt sacrifice, and on the wood. And he said, Do it the second time. And they did it the second time. He said, Do it the third time. And they did it the third time. And the water ran round about the altar, and filled the trench also with water. It came to pass at the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice that Elijah the prophet came near and said, Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and of Israel, let it be known this day that thou art God in Israel, and that I am thy servant, and that I have done all these things at thy word. Hear me, O Lord, hear me, that this people may know that thou art the Lord God, and that thou hast turned their heart back again. Then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt sacrifice, and the wood, and the stones, and the dust, and licked up the water that was in the trench. And when all the people saw it, they fell on their faces, and they said, The Lord, he is the God! The Lord, he is the God! And Elijah said unto them, Take the prophets of Baal, let not one of them escape. And they took them, and Elijah brought them down to the brook Kishon, and slew them there. And Elijah said unto Ahab, Get thee up, eat and drink, for there is a sound of abundance of rain. So Ahab went up to eat and to drink, and Elijah went up to the top of Carmel, and he cast himself down upon the earth and put his face between his knees, and said to his servant, Go up now, look toward the sea. And he went up and looked and said, There is nothing. He said, Go again 7 times. It came to pass at the 7th time that he said, Behold, there ariseth a little cloud out of the sea like a man's hand. And he said, Go up, say unto Ahab, Prepare thy chariot, and get thee down, that the rain stop thee not. It came to pass in the meanwhile that the heaven was black with clouds and wind, and there was a great rain. And Ahab rode and went to Jezreel. And the hand of the Lord was on Elijah, and he girded up his loins and ran before Ahab to the entrance of Jezreel. And Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done, and withal how he had slain all the prophets with the sword. Then Jezebel sent a messenger unto Elijah, saying, So let the gods do to me, and more also, if I make not thy life as the life of one of them by tomorrow about this time. And when he saw that, he arose and went for his life, and came to Beersheba, which belongeth to Judah, and left his servant there. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness, and came and sat down under a juniper tree. And he requested for himself that he might die, and said, It is enough now, O Lord, take away my life, for I am not better than my fathers. And as he lay and slept under a juniper tree, behold, then an angel touched him and said unto him, Arise and eat. And he looked, and behold, there was cake, bacon on the coals, and a cruse of water at his head. And he did eat and drink, and laid him down again. And the angel of the Lord came again the 2nd time and touched him, and said, Arise and eat, because the journey is too great for thee. And he arose and did eat and drink, and went in the strength of that meat 40 days and 40 nights unto Horeb, the mount of God. And he came thither unto a cave and lodged there. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him, and he said unto him, What doest thou here, Elijah? And he said, I have been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts, for the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, thrown down thine altars, and slain thy prophets with a sword, and I, even I only am left, and they seek my life to take it away. He said, Go forth, and stand upon the mount before the Lord. And behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and strong wind rent the mountains and break in pieces the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a still small voice. And it was so, when Elijah heard it, that he wrapped his face in his mantle and went out and stood in the entering in of the cave. And behold, there came a voice unto him and said, What doest thou here, Elijah? And he said, I have been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts, because the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, thrown down thine altars, and slain thy prophets with the sword. And I, even I only, am left, and they seek my life to take it away. Can we have here the story of Elijah? We refer sometimes to a mountaintop experience. And that's what I want to look at first, on the mountaintop. So we have Elijah on the mountaintop. It actually appeared he had everything under his control. He told the king, get all Israel together. And the king listened. The king was actually operating at his beck and call here in this story. Even though the king hated Elijah, he got together the people of Israel at Elijah's word. It was going well. It was a mountaintop. So now he had the opportunity to be an evangelist to the multitudes. He had all Israel right there. He was speaking to all of them. He was the central figure speaking to the children of Israel. As he said in verse 22, he said, I'm the only one. I'm the only prophet of God that is left. Elijah was the one that this whole mission of God was revolving around from his perspective. We'll see later that he wasn't quite right on that. But as we go to verses 30 to 39, God was working mightily through him. Elijah had prayed 3 years before that there would be no rain. There was no rain for those 3 years. Now Elijah has the prophets of Baal in front of him. 850 of them, because there was 450 plus another 400 that Jezebel took care of. Close to 1,000 prophets of Baal in front of him. And he got all Israel to agree to a test. He said, we're going to find out once and for all who the true God is. We're going to have these men build a sacrifice and have their God bring fire. And all Israel said, that sounds great. Let's see what happens. Imagine the pressure that these men were under. Imagine with me for a moment how Elijah must have felt when he prayed that prayer at the time of the evening sacrifice and fire came. You know, I'm sure the temptation was there. I think the attitude actually comes out a bit, that this is happening because I am doing this for God. I like the thought that Brother Josiah had in his devotions. What does it actually mean to serve God? You know, largely it's giving up identity. Not creating identity. It's giving up identity and just being a servant at the beck and call of your master. Next thing I want to look at is at the bottom. I will point out one more thing. Elijah's prayer for rain. And you know what? After 3 years of drought, rain came. A real storm. And I can't help but notice the fact that when it came time to build, to get back to the city, Ahab was in his chariot with his horse in front, Elijah on foot. And we know the story. Elijah beat. He outran the horse. I'm getting ahead of myself. I wanted to use a little bit of an illustration here. I think the children all know what this is. What do I have in my hands? Jolinda. Legos. What do we do with Legos? Jasper. Play with them. We build things with them. Here's a little man. We're going to call him Elijah for a minute. Actually, I think it was supposed to be Moses, but we'll call him Elijah for a minute. We're going on into the next section. So what did Elijah do next after he got to Jezreel? He got a message from a woman, from the queen. I said, guess what? Tomorrow, by this time, you're going to be a dead man. What did Elijah do? What did Elijah do? Who can tell me what Elijah did? Question's too easy. What did Elijah do? Lawrence. He ran. He ran for his life. What Elijah was trying to do was protect himself. I'm going to illustrate that by starting to build a wall here. Where did he go? Where did Elijah go? One of the children. Better, where did Elijah go? Okay. He went into the wilderness. What's the wilderness? It's a place where there's not people. I didn't make sure all my building materials matched, but you know what? When this kind of a dilemma, we don't make sure our building materials match. We grab stones from wherever we can get them and stack them. What were the first words that came out of Elijah's mouth after he got into the wilderness? Who remembers that? He said to God, "It is enough. Take my life." So I have a question. How rational was Elijah being? He had just gotten done running to protect his life, and the first words that come out of his mouth are, "Take my life. Take my life." At the bottom. So we see him fleeing for his life. We see him suicidal. What did he do then? After he said, "Take my life," what did he do? He slept, right? It says he slept. He was under a tree and he slept. What happened next? He got woken up. Who woke him up? Jasper. An angel. Why did the angel want to wake him up? To eat. That's right. He said, "You should be eating. You need to eat." Elijah can hardly see over the wall now. If this were a real wall that Elijah was building around himself, what would it be like inside of it? Quaint and cozy? I think it would be dark and miserable. And you know, that's what happens. What were the thoughts that he was thinking? think about that just a little bit. Verse 10, he carries a thought, just putting it in my own words, I'm good and people are mistreating me. Verse 14, he comes right back to the same thing. He is just dwelling on his problems. I'm going to read some verses from Lamentations 3. And you know, it's almost, we read this passage, it's almost hard to imagine that this is the same prophet that Josiah quoted in Devotions. Very gloomy outlook. I'm going to read the first 12 verses of Lamentations 3. Jeremiah is saying, I am the man that has seen affliction by the rod of God's wrath. God has led me and brought me into darkness, not into light. Surely against me he has turned. He turned his hand against me all the day. My flesh and my skin hath he made old. He hath broken my bones. He hath builded against me and compassed me with gall and travail. He hath set me in dark places as they that be dead of old. He hath hedged me about that I cannot get out. He hath made my chain heavy. Also, when I cry and shout, he shutteth out my prayer. He hath enclosed my ways with hewn stone. He hath made my paths crooked. He was unto me as a bear lying in wait, and as a lion in secret places. He hath turned aside my ways and pulled me in pieces. He hath made me desolate. He has bent his bow and set me as a mark for the arrow. Do you think these thoughts were expressing what Elijah was thinking when he got the day's journey in the wilderness, sat under the juniper tree, and said, God, just take my life. Just take it. Jeremiah here in Lamentations is saying, to him it looks like God is right here. He's got his bow set, bent, his arrow pulled back. He's just getting ready to let it go. Elijah's seeing that same thing, and he's saying, God, just take my life. Just take it. Do you think Elijah's thoughts very possibly mirrored Jeremiah's here? I think there was a lot of similarities. I really do. He was saying, God is against me. Now, this is 2 days after he was on the mountaintop and won against basically the entire nation of Israel. And he came out of that with the prophets of Baal slain and Israel saying that God is the God. But there was at least one that was still not accepting that God is the God. And Elijah's saying, she is making me miserable. Saying, God, why do you even allow it? Lamentations, Jeremiah says, you've got me trapped. I can't even get out. He goes on to say, I'm praying and you're not listening. He says, if you wish to destroy me, just do it. Get rid of me. Are those realistic thoughts? You don't have to raise your hand on this. Have you ever thought similar things? I think we've all struggled with depression in some measure or another, somewhere along the way. What's the answer to that? I'm going to continue reading in Lamentations 3, verses 21 to 36. So part 3 is God's message to the discouraged. Lamentations 3, verse 21. This I recall to my mind, therefore have I hope. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, saith my soul. Therefore will I hope in him. The Lord is good unto them that wait for him, to the soul that seeketh him. It is good that a man should both hope and quietly wait for the salvation of the Lord. It is good for a man that he bear the yoke in his youth. He sitteth alone and keepeth silence, because he hath borne it upon him. He putteth his mouth in the dust, if so there may be hope. He giveth his cheek to him that smiteth him. He is filled full with reproach, for the Lord will not cast off forever. But though he cause grief, yet will he have compassion according to the multitude of his mercies. For he doth not afflict willingly, nor grieve the children of men, to crush under his feet all the prisoners of the earth, to turn aside the right of a man before the face of the Most High, to subvert a man in his cause, the Lord approveth not. God's message to the discouraged. First thing I see here is recognize the mercy of God. Jeremiah concludes, it is actually the Lord's mercies that keep us from being consumed. And now we can start painting a different picture. Maybe there are arrows facing us, but it's not the Lord's arrows. It's the Lord that is protecting. It is not the Lord that is destroying. The next thing I see is the message, wait. Wait and see the salvation of the Lord. You know, instead, so many times what we try to do is come up with our own solution. So if we have financial problems, and I speak to myself, we say, well, I need to spend extra time on finances. And yes, there may be truth to that. But so many times we do that at the expense of extra time in prayer about the situation. Maybe it's relationships. You say, I need to spend extra time building them. And yes, that may be true. But don't forget that you need to spend extra time imploring God to help you with that. He is the one that moves in the hearts of men. Next thing I see is the Lord will not cast off forever. 1 Corinthians 10:13 has always been a very precious verse to me. There has no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it. So does God allow trials? Does he allow temptations? Yes, he does. He allows trials and temptations. But it says here, they will not go on forever. He will have compassion. He will help us before it becomes too difficult to support by his grace. Coming back a little more directly to Elijah's story, God's message to the discouraged, hear the voice of the Lord. You know, many times I see life as a puzzle. I see a couple of pieces and it feels very confusing as to how they're supposed to fit together. But you know, God knows how they fit together. God knows. In fact, in his mind's eye, he sees how they're going to fit together, when they're going to be put together, when that picture is going to be made complete. Hear the voice of God. His plan is still there. His purpose is still there. Next thing I see in Elijah, the message is, get up. Get up. And if you're down by the grace of God, get up. You don't have to be hiding behind the wall. Open your heart up to God. Get up and allow Him to have His way. It's interesting to me that part of God's solution for Elijah was physical. In Elijah's case, he said, you need to eat. You have run away from where you can find physical nourishment. You have run away from the basic necessities of your physical life. Here it is. Take it. Eat. Get strength from it. Physical strength. Verse 18, I'm impressed with the thought of the need to recognize those around you. And you know the potential they might have in your life. I don't know if Elijah knew Elisha before. But if he did, he just knew him as a good farmer. Elijah was not thinking of Elisha as the candidate that could help him in the load of his ministry. He was completely overlooking something that God had planned for. Recognize those around you. See what's in them. See the good that's in them. And those relationships will be blessed. Next part, I want to look at just a few practical thoughts very quickly. Most of us know pretty well the story that we find in Genesis 1 and 2. A beautiful creation, and then all of a sudden it is spoiled. It was perfect. Now there's weeds. The weather was beautiful. I don't know when all the weather patterns changed. Some of that might have just happened after the flood. But there was relaxation. Now there's work. There was freedom. The spirit was free. Now there's guilt. You know, we face that in life today. They went from the mountaintop, would you say, to the bottom. They were living in ecstasy. Now they're living in despair, I believe. Had it not been for the hope that God brought to them through a future Savior coming to earth, they would have had nothing but despair. So the fall brought with it pain and suffering for Adam and Eve and the rest of us. The earth that was supposed to be perfect for our enjoyment no longer was perfect. That walking in person relationship with God no longer could happen. So today now we have spirits that are yearning for the Garden of Eden. They're yearning for perfection. They're yearning for perfect relationships. They're yearning for that relationship that can only be filled by God. And today, we can only get a down payment of that. We can have a relationship with Jesus. We can have Him in our heart so that our heart is free from the load, the emotional load of guilt from sin. But our bodies are not liberated from the effects of the fall. We still have pain and suffering. We still have whatever your issues are. We still have that mental fog sometimes. We still have broken bones. We fill in the blanks. We still have that today. A reminder again that we don't see the whole picture of our lives. But God made us for perfection. And only as we trust today to God and look forward to the future do we see the light at the end of the tunnel. So if you're struggling in despair, if you're struggling in depression, seek God fervently in your life. Seek His will for your life. There's where purpose is found. Trust your future on earth to God. There's where security is found. And look forward to the day when you can be in the presence of God in glory. You know, there's where perfection and complete satisfaction is found. So my thought that I want to leave with you in closing is, if you're looking for answers for your life, God has those answers. These thoughts in mind, let us kneel for prayer. Father, we come before you again this morning, thanking you, Lord, for your blessings to us. Thank you, Lord, that you love us and care for us. Father, thank you that even when we were dead in trespasses and sins, you loved us, you had a plan for us. Father, thank you that you have made it possible. You have given us the strength to seize that plan. We can hold to your hand and allow you to lead us through. Father, we pray that blessing on each one that is here. Give each one grace and strength. Give them courage. Give them a new glimpse of your greatness and of your perfect plan for their lives. Father, bless those who will be sharing in the further service. Give them wisdom from on high. Bless each one of us. We ask, Lord, that you would help us to take home a renewed feeling of your love for us, your care for us, that our lives are planned by you and that you have a purpose for us. Father, we pray this all in the precious name of Jesus, according to thy will. Amen. Thank you.